Cabinet, today we've agreed to put provisions around electronic bail into legislation. As you know, electronic monitoring on bail has been going for some time with reasonable success, but we're going to put it on a statutory footing to give greater clarity around it. And the provisions for that will be part of a Criminal Justice Remedial Matters Bill, which also has a number of technical amendments in it. Discussion documents, we've agreed to the release of one from Ministry for the Environment on a proposed national environmental standard for on-site wastewater systems, and one from Rick Barker and Courts, a public consultation document on reform of the current tribunal system. The work that has been done in justice has come up with a preferred option, and that's now going out to consultation. Also agreed to regulations which support the coming into force of the new Lawyers and Conveyancing Act 2006. It comes into force on the 1st of August, and the new regulations include the regime to be put around senior counsel, which supersede Queen's Counsel and set out clear criteria for appointment. There's quite a range of transport matters which had come up through the committee system last week, a number relating to New Zealand ratifying or acceding to international conventions or protocols, such as 2004 International Convention for the Control and Management of Ships' Ballast Water and Sediments, a 1973 protocol relating to intervention on the high seas in cases of pollution by substances other than oil, 1996 protocol, which amends the International Convention on the Limitation of Liability for Maritime Claims, and a 2001 International Convention on Civil Liability for Bunker Oil Pollution Damage. So all of those will go through the normal select committee process, which occurs when we have a treaty or protocol which we propose to accede to, and then there'll be legislation introduced to allow ratification to proceed. Also agreed to amendments to the Maritime Transport Act around port and harbour and navigation safety management. That's been subject to public consultation prior to these policy decisions, and also other miscellaneous amendments to the Act. As I said last week, we were going to finalise, and we have, the policy decisions around changes to liquor legislation, dealing with tightening the supply of liquor to minors, and also empowering local authorities to be able to give effect to their local liquor plans as district licensing agencies. We also propose that the government bill, which should come in the next session after the recess, will include the matters which are in the George Hawkins bill as well. I should say I've had extremely positive feedback about the approach of empowering the local authorities. It's clear that a number of local authorities have been wrestling with quite difficult alcohol-fuelled crime in their areas. I know the Christchurch Press has given a lot of reporting space over the past week on the problems in Christchurch. I was in Queenstown on Friday for the opening of the Winter Festival and had the opportunity to talk to the mayor there about the problems they've had with the 24-hour town and the concentration of young visitors and binge drinking. So the opportunity for local authorities to be able to give effect, in effect without challenge, to their local liquor plans is something that's been very broadly welcomed. Coming up this week, obviously the new Green Party member, Russell Norman, is sworn in tomorrow, and he'll be giving his maiden speech as well. On the order paper for the 2 days of government business, we'll continue and finish the first reading of that gang penalties and sentencing related bill that Annette King has given her first reading speech on. Hope to take the Land Transport Management Amendment Bill through to its third reading this week, and the Births, Deaths, Marriages and Relationships Registration Amendment to third reading. Family Courts Matters Bill will continue the committee stages. And then there are a number of first readings which are possible. Judicial Matters, the Public Lending Right for New Zealand Authors Bill, which was signalled in the budget, and possibly the legislation around ratification of the United Nations new Disability Convention. Coming up this week, there's been some reporting already around the July 1 announcements, improvement in the paid parental leave rates, the starting of the shared equity scheme, Housing New Zealand working with Kiwi Bank as a partner, and also the right from 1 July for people to request flexible working hours, which brings us into line with enlightened jurisdictions like the UK, which have had this, I understand, for some time. Michael Cullen has issued a media advisory saying that there will be an announcement around rail tomorrow morning, which I'll be part of at the railway station. Come Wednesday, Thursday, Ruth Dyson will be releasing information around falling rates of child poverty. Information coming through on that has been quite positive. Expect there to be on Thursday a signing ceremony here at Parliament with the first confirmed private sector contributors to the New Zealand Fast Forward Fund. Next week, of course, is a recess week, and we'll be having a Labour Party caucus meeting at Premier House on the Tuesday. The situation in Zimbabwe I've commented on morning media this morning. So again, for the record, we regard what has happened in Zimbabwe as a tragedy, a farce with tragic consequences. For Mr. Mugabe to proclaim a landslide victory when he has intimidated his opponent, who led him in the first round, out of running, killed his opponent's supporters, tortured others, dislocated many others from their homes. It's a disastrous situation. Last week, the Security Council did discuss the matter and was able to release a resolution in which it put its weight behind the efforts of the President of South Africa to attempt to mediate what it hoped would be a Kenyan-style outcome. Kenya, of course, experienced considerable post-election violence a few months ago, and eventually a government was put together. Now, I think all eyes will be on the African Union summit at Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt overnight our time to see if the African Union will also make it very, very clear to Mr. Mugabe that they regard what has happened as a blemish on Africa's reputation standing, that they do not want to be judged by those standards, and that they are looking for the opposition, which after all won the parliamentary elections, to be able to take part in the government of Zimbabwe. So we're looking to see what comes out of that meeting of the African Union overnight. Any questions?
Would you be encouraging cricketers maybe take some action concerning Zimbabwe?
When there was a question of whether or not Zimbabwe cricket would come to New Zealand a couple of years ago, 3-4 years ago, of course the New Zealand government said it would deny entry, and we did, but we have found that in the International Cricket Council it's been very difficult to get support other than from Britain and Australia for taking the sort of action that that could be taken. So I'd be a little bit pessimistic about how possible that is, but certainly would be encouraging New Zealand cricket to see if there was now potential to take the matter further. What happened to the lady in the rest home in Epsom is completely contrary to all law, regulation and policy around the care of people in rest homes. It is completely unacceptable, and that rest home will find it is in very serious trouble with the Ministry of Health and the District Health Board.
Are there any options for the infrastructure to be closed down?
I would think that they have quite wide powers if they're not satisfied. We do have a requirement that all rest homes have to be certified, and if you're not certified, you cannot practice. So we now await the outcome of the investigation by the relevant authorities.
Would you like to see it closed down?
I think that any rest home that cannot meet proper quality standards, meet the regulated standards, we shouldn't be in business.
Prime Minister, you've been critical of what the National Park and Crosby Tick Study Australia policy. What do you think wrong with them using that company?
The National Party can use who it likes, but one of the problems is that they're not open about it. You will not get a straight answer from them about who they use. Now, Crosby Textor has quite a reputation. It's got a reputation for push polling and smearing. It's got a reputation for exploiting maximum political mileage out of the, quote, children overboard saga in Australia, which of course was not correct. There's been some publicity in the British papers recently about the way in which they have managed the Boris Johnson campaign for the London mayoralty. I think the good thing is that light is now being shone on the tactics of these particular Tory tricksters.
So it's not so much the fact that they're using them as the fact that they hadn't been as upfront about it as they could have been.
It was television 3. I think the issue is what came through in the Hollow Men, that they are not honest about the tactics that they employ. They are not honest about who they employ, and that will always lead to suspicion.
Does Labor use a company, such as UMR, I think they're polling company, to help it with strategy and taking the mood of the nation, giving that little parties might use to see where their weaknesses and strengths are?
Well, UMR is a commercial research company, and it's well known that we are one of their commercial clients. So, of course, we use them. And I think it's important to be able to gauge public opinion. I'm out there interacting with the public a lot, so both I and ministers and body of MPs, of course, we get a lot of public opinion feedback, but you also need to be taking soundings more broadly than that. That's why you use a company. But we're quite upfront about it. We do use them.
Is that the only company we use?
I don't know of any other company we use for commercial research.
Does UMR do push polling, to your knowledge?
Push polling? Not anything like what I've read about Crosby Textor. Which puts totally false propositions to people and uses that to spread lies and misinformation about people.
National saying again that it's worrying that this may come to light for a breach of the parliamentary IT system, that somehow their parliamentary email system is vulnerable. Are you satisfied that there are breaches of the parliamentary?
Look, I simply don't know with respect to the National Party. I've never had any cause for concern about emails around my own office. If the National Party has a problem, the problem more likely lies within. And that seems to be why every inquiry into where information that goes to Mr. Harger comes from hits a blank wall. Going on. There's active discussion at the staff level, at the chief of staff level, yes. Yes.
Are you confident in getting them?
Well, as I've said before, it's business as usual, minority government. You work with those who are constructive to see if you can mobilise majority around a bill. That's been the way life's worked for the last 8.5 years.
How much of a blow would it be to you and your programme about climate change?
Well, the issue is for New Zealand. If you can't get an emissions trading scheme established, the taxpayer is going to pay and pay and pay, and you won't get the behaviour change that an emissions trading scheme incentivises. You run the risk of large-scale deforestation, as a consequence of not having the trading scheme in place. So it's really a question of what is in New Zealand's best interests right now as a party to the Kyoto Protocol, negotiated by a national party in government, which now doesn't want to live up to those obligations.
Will the government consider a proposal by Wellington and Auckland mayors to help with Nikki Hines?
I haven't seen their proposal, but there has been some discussion of it with officials. The Crown has never accepted liability for the bad building, design, development and poor building inspector processes which have led to people having leaky homes. What we have done is set up mediation and tribunal procedures so that people can get access to justice in a low-cost way. Now, the request from those two particular councils, which has ended up in the public arena, has already met fire from at least one other mayor who says, why should the taxpayer, that's all of us, pay for mistakes in those councils when other councils haven't made those mistakes? Well, the liability falls with those who designed, built, developed and ticked off as appropriate those particular buildings. Is there one? I really have no comment.
John Key's been quite critical of what he says is at least eight government campaigns all trying to achieve essentially the same thing, which is to combat obesity, and he's pointed to that as one area where perhaps there's money not being spent as well as it could be. Have you got a comment or reaction to that?
Well, I doubt that he's right. A number of agencies have worked together on healthy eating, healthy action and mission on campaigns. Each of them have some responsibility for their niche in it, but I'd be surprised if there's duplication. I think it's all good effort. Some of it will come through a health hat, some through an education lens, others through a spark lens, but it's all contributing to endeavouring to make people healthier, fitter, eat better. And the last figures from the health survey indicated that while obesity rates are bad in New Zealand, they appear to have plateaued, so that's the good news.
He's also criticising spending at Spark, saying that there's too much being tied up in the bureaucracy, highlighting the fact that there's 14 people paid over $150,000 a year, and saying that National would direct some of that money towards the coalface, towards getting more kids into sport.
Well, Spark would be a relatively small agency, and of course it's operating at a number of levels. It has to interact with the nationwide sporting organisations, it's running scholarship schemes, it's helping mentor organisations, it's endeavouring to participate in government campaigns like the one against obesity. So I'd be surprised if it was other than a lean organisation.
Did Cabinet today give an update on the hydro rates and what was the situation?
Every week, yes, and the graph is moving in an encouraging direction. I think that the nature of the campaign aimed at urging people to save a little power where they can has been right in tone, and people have responded generously to that, with the savings going over 4% last week. So that's all helped.
So will the campaign continue? And
yes. How long's a piece of string? But the weather patterns have been encouraging. The graph is moving back in a positive direction towards the min zone that's established, and it's looking more encouraging than one might have said 3 weeks ago.
Prime Minister, back on Zimbabwe, will you urge the Black Caps not to go there next year, even though, did I understand you to say you weren't confident that the ICC would agree with that?
Well, what we found in the past was that the ICC did not consider the circumstances in Zimbabwe sufficient for it to agree to the cancellation of a tour. So the question would be whether the ground has changed sufficiently at the ICC. That would have to be explored. I mean, obviously we would prefer that the Black Caps not play in Zimbabwe. We made that clear last time.
The committee's reported that the China FTA agreement, when would we expect to see the enabling legislation?
Probably come back for second reading committee stages in the next session, I would think. The FTA takes effect on the 1st of October, so there's plenty of time to get that through.
When, given you've got ongoing negotiations, when do you expect to have the bill on the ETS back?
Well, when we mobilise majority for it.
If you don't mobilise majority, would you bring it back just to get a vote?
No.
No, you just...
It would become a central element of the election campaign about who's serious about meeting New Zealand's international environmental commitments. Who's serious about actually doing something about the climate change problem rather than trying to destroy constructive efforts. And this is the only deal in town to deal with this problem right now.
Another bill you've had trouble getting the numbers on, the real estate bill. How's the negotiations going there?
I haven't had an update on that one.